This was quite an interesting session this year. What are your reflections and thoughts?
It really was. It was a challenge for us, and I think we knew it would be from the very beginning based on the fact that oil prices were dropping by the beginning of the session, and because of our revenue for the state, you know, 90% of it comes from oil tax revenue. We knew we were in for a tough haul in terms of being able to come up with a budget that would be sustainable and at the same time, meet the expectations of the people in the state in terms of government services, et cetera. You know, there's that balance. And so getting at that balance this year was particularly, particularly troublesome and took some time and effort and in the end compromised. You know, what was lacking was for a long, long time there was a willingness for the two sides to talk and to, explore ideas and to actually debate the issue. And then that finally came about in the second session, and we were able to get it resolved. But yeah, a strange year and a hard year, challenging year, but one that's going to continue to be a challenge. The job will continue to be a challenging one because, you know, while we were able to cut $800 million in spending, when you combine what we cut from the capital budget and the operating budget, that's still a long ways away from that $3 billion deficit, revenue, comparing revenue to spending. And so we still got a lot of work in front of us. But, I'm up for the job and enjoyed the first session and looking forward to the next session.
Looking at this district, District 36, how did you see it being treated this session?
You know, I felt like District 36 ended up doing okay. There wasn't any area that didn't see some significant reductions in capital spending, for sure. The capital budget was significantly less than in years past, and so that's probably the most visible and most apparent way that districts and the state as a whole saw evidence of that decline in spending was in that capital budget. And, District 36 is no different than that. But with that said, in that capital budget, we had some federal spending that took place, particularly for the Ketchikan area and for District 36 as a whole, that we were actually able to come out okay in that capital budget. District 36 was, I know that Metlakatla was able to get funding for a boiler replacement project in their recreation center. You know, here in Ketchikan, we got some funding for the harbors, development of the harbors, and as well as some funding for roads and road repair. So in actuality, that capital budget treated District 36 about as good as anybody. And again, it wasn't so much because of state funding, but federal funds, pass-through funds that went through that capital budget.
Do you see funding getting tougher next year?
I do.
What do you see as next year?
I do see that. I don't see the capital budget increasing in any way next year. I think the operating budget, there's going to be a continuing push to look at ways at reducing the operating budget. Perhaps the goal would be another 10% because of the fact that we struggled to make that $400 million cut to the operating budget. The next step is going to be that much harder. Certainly some lean times ahead for the state of Alaska, at least in the short term, and one where I think the message we're getting is while perhaps revenues, we need to look at alternative sources of revenue, the governor certainly indicated that that's where we need to go, and I think there's a growing realization amongst the legislature as a whole that we need to look at that. There's still that expectation, though, that we need to become as lean as possible on the spending side, and so that'll be a challenge.
Is it just over time or for the last however many years people have just taken it for granted in a sense that the money's going to be there?
I think so. I think we've grown accustomed to seeing government services that, frankly, we didn't have to pay for directly out of our individual taxpayers' pockets. You know, we're one of the few states that don't have a direct state tax, and our revenue, came from, like I said, 90% of it came from oil taxes. With production going down through the Alaska Pipeline, but also prices being down, you put those two factors together, and that helps explain why revenues for the state are significantly less than they used to be. And we're grown used to those good times, and now it's going to be either one, coming up with some alternative sources of revenue, i.e. some form of taxes, or a significant further reduction in government spending, and to the point where you're trying to maybe reduce spending, but in the end you actually cost the state even more money. For example, if Fish and Game doesn't get the funding that it needs to be able to do, to be able to manage the season and manage the fishery and take the data and digest that data, then what that forces the Fish and Game people to do is not do that research, not do that data intake, and then they have to become much more conservative in their allotment and their fishing allotments to the different fishing seasons. So therefore, then if they're much conservative, that means there's that much less take that the fishermen can do, and then there's less fish taxes that come into the state. So it's an example where while it sounds good to reduce government spending and become as lean as possible, and we need to look for ways to do that, at the same time you can make reductions to the point where you're actually counterproductive in terms of the net result of what comes back to the state. Another example was, earlier in the session this past year, we looked at closing all the timber offices, including those here in Ketchikan and in southeast Alaska. That was an actual proposal that we were going to close those timber offices as well. If you do that, that means that the different timber operators in southeast Alaska lose access to potential sales from state timber lands, and frankly, with the federal government not offering much in terms of new timber sales, the state was like the lone saving grace out there for the local timber operators. You close those offices and those timber sales goes away, and then you lose big time. So those are challenges and two specific examples of where, yeah, we do need to make cuts, but we need to make sure that those cuts make sense, economic sense for the region and for the state as a whole.
And there have been discussions or ideas thrown out there of a state income tax, a state sales tax, or tapping into the permanent fund. Any sense of what really is in the works and what might happen?
It might come down to a combination of things, including perhaps looking at the tax credits program with oil companies. Was on tap to cost the state $700 million in this year's budget. The governor just recently cut $200 million of that potential spending. But, $700 million, while it makes some sense to create incentives for the oil industry to look for more oil and to do more production, at a certain point you have to say, can we afford to give those tax credits and at the same time make some significant reductions in education spending, for example, or funding for the Alaska Marine Highway System. The governor called a meeting in Fairbanks there in the middle of June or so, and I attended that. There they laid out the scenarios of some different potential revenue sources, all the way from, direct income tax based on what individuals pay the federal government, a percentage of that, what they pay in their taxes to the federal government would go to the state in a new form of an income tax. And we looked at, the option of doing different things with the permanent fund, perhaps going to a percentage of market value or POMV model for the permanent fund. And then, looked at other kinds of things like gaming industry starting up here again in Alaska in a bigger way, i.e. a lottery, something like that. And, all kinds of different ideas are out there. And in the end, I think it's going to probably require at least several of those different things in order to come up with enough revenue to at least help offset that deficit that we're looking at right now.
Have you heard any ideas from your constituents?
Comments? Maria, that's one of my main goals here in the interim, is to go out and talk to the folks in District 36, give them some scenarios and say, what is it that you think we need to do? Do we need to really struggle and cut the budget even more? Is that something that you'd like to see us do? Which would mean then, perhaps further reductions in education funding or further reductions in transportation and those kinds of things. Or is that not suitable? And if it's not suitable, then what is it that you want us to do? Do you want us to look at that permanent fund? Do you want us to look at an income tax? You know, so my mission here is to try to get out and to talk to folks throughout District 36 and to get their input so that, you know, when it comes down to the actual votes, I know that I'm reflecting at least hopefully a consensus. We can see a consensus develop here in District 36 as to what the local folks want and what they'd like to see happen.
With respect to transportation, I know for many people, the Alaska Marine Highway is an important component, and it seems like it's been on the chopping block quite a bit, and people say that those in the rail belt don't really understand the importance. Are you trying to strive to improve that understanding? What are the feelings about the Marine Highway?
Well, that's a good, very good question. You know, I did serve on the Transportation Committee in this past session and continue to plan to do that, specifically because of the importance of the Marine Highway system. And so myself and Representative Keto out of Juneau, you know, we both serve on that committee, and it was our mission to continue to try to educate folks from the interior and from South Central area in terms of the importance of that Marine Highway system, and not just to Southeast Alaska or even to coastal Alaska, but to the whole state. You know, there's a lot of data out there that points to the average ferry visitor, the person who's a tourist who visits on Alaska Marine Highway system. You know, they're often driving an RV that offloads in Skagway and goes all the way up into the interior of, you know, Fairbanks area. They're bringing with them that spending and that, you know, that economic activity that takes place. While somebody in Fairbanks may not see the direct connection, there's definitely a direct benefit that happens from the Alaska Marine Highway traffic that, you know, happens that gets spread throughout the whole state. So just educating the folks about that. The Marine Highway system, certainly like the entire transportation system, did see some cuts, but we were able to stave off some of those cuts and actually in the end restore $1.75 million in funding to the Alaska Marine Highway system at the very end there as part of the deal that was brokered between the House minority and the majority, particularly in the Senate. You know, we were able to convince them that, you know, that spending made sense, and that in order to do what the Marine Highway system needs to do and in order for them to benefit the state, they knew need some basic level of funding. And so I felt good about that. Was one thing that we were able to see restored in exchange for our CBR vote, which is what the Senate majority needed, or the whole majority in the legislature needed from us, and the minority was the go-ahead to spend that those CBR reserves. But in order to do that, we said, okay, you're going to have to restore some funding here. Marine Highway System, one of them. Also, we got some restored funding to elder services, senior services, as well as public radio. So these are all things that we saw as important and an important part of our region and an important part of the state as a whole, and so something we felt like pretty good grounds in pushing for.
And CBR being Constitutional Budget Reserve,
correct, which is how we're funding that deficit that I spoke of in this particular session or in this particular funding year and the next one and probably the next one in the future. It's going to require authorization from the Constitutional Budget Reserve, spending from that. And in order to do that, you need 3/4 of a vote, which is where we in the minority were able to leverage that and say, okay, well, if you need that vote, this is what it's going to take.
And next year, it sounds like the axe will be falling even harder with respect to the Marine Highway. It looks as though they're discontinuing quite a few sailings, if I'm correct on that.
Yeah, I think part of that was based on the folks at the Alaska Marine Highway System's funding for this year, and then perhaps some projection as to where they think they might be in the next year. Definitely some reductions in service have been announced, something that is not easy and not something that folks in Southeast Alaska and coastal communities throughout the state are going to be able to, well, we're all going to have to adjust, and you know, it'll be a challenge, but I just hope that, you know, I know that I'm going to continue to be a voice for saying, okay, yeah, cuts are necessary, but let's make sure that, first of all, the cuts are equitable, and let's try to make sure that the cuts make economic sense in the long run, and so I'll continue to be an advocate for that Marine Highway system.
And certainly people are concerned with job cuts. That affects perhaps themselves, their friends and neighbors, their community, and services available. Is most of that going to happen through attrition, or are there going to be many?
You know, I think this particular round of cuts, it was established by most of the different departments throughout the state that those cuts would generally be in the neighborhood of attrition, where there would be retirements and positions not refilled. But still, you know, that's important, because that's wages that are not put into the local community, whether somebody retires or whether they get laid off. Those wages are then lost wages, and that spending is lost spending. So that's the real trick here, Maria, is to try to come up with a budget that's fiscally sound, but at the same time doesn't throw the state into a recession or some real tough economic times, based on the fact that spending that previously occurred just isn't occurring, and then the offshoots of that, or the rippling effect of that throughout different communities, economies, et cetera.
You mentioned getting input from your constituents. You're here in Ketchikan now. Are you traveling around your district?
As a matter of fact, I'm going to be going up to Wrangell at the end of this week for their Bear Fest, and we'll be manning a booth there. And my main purpose will be to hand out surveys to get people to give me some input as to some of these different things we just talked about. And I'll be going over to Heidelberg as well later in the summer, and I'm going to be going over to Metlakatla to take part in their Founders Day activities on the 7th of August, and plan to have that survey with me there as well. So yeah, I'm going to really be working hard at getting out into district throughout District 36 and trying to get input as to what it is they'd like to see Representative Ortiz do with his votes in terms of spending cuts and or revenue, sources of revenue, how they'd like to, me to approach that.
Okay, and you are here with office hours through Thursday this week?
I am. I'm in my office up until Thursday, and then when you know some of my travel gets taken care of here, I'll probably be spending some time in the office again at the end of August and into September.
When does the next session start up?
You know, officially, we're not going to meet again until January 20th, but, you know, I'm hearing some things about a potential special session having to do with gas pipeline issues, and then there's a potential that the governor might call a session dealing with revenue and recognizing that those answers are never going to be easy answers, and they're never going to be easy solutions. You know, kind of the mentality, I think, from the governor is, why put off something just because it's hard? You know, we better start addressing these issues, because the longer we put them off, the more difficult they become. And so there may, in fact, be a couple of special sessions, or at least one special session here before January 20th. So I'm just waiting to find out when that might be.
So, again, it's a ways in the future, but are you, as you're getting input or just looking at the situations, seeing things that you see as possibly your priority coming up?
In terms of, let me clarify that question. Are you talking about in terms of
what
my position will be on revenue or things like that? Or are you talking about...
Could be projects, could be revenue, things that you see to help benefit this district.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of issues that I'm working on. One of the issues that I'm going to be going up to Juneau and attending a meeting here in early August, and then another meeting later in August, has to do with transboundary mining issues and potential impact of those new mine projects over on, you know, the BC side or over in Canada, how they potentially may have an impact on the fishing industry here in Southeast Alaska, because these, you know, these mines are almost every one of them are at the headwaters of a particular major river system, major salmon, you know, producer system. We want to make sure that we in Alaska, and particularly the governor and the lieutenant governor, that we have a voice at the table, and that, you know, our concerns and that our interests are addressed and looked at, and perhaps protections put in place so that we don't put those, that very important salmon industry, at risk. That's one of the things I'll be working on, is transboundary mining issues and being a part of those discussions. Also, I believe, and we'll be, you know, writing a piece here soon, I believe that we really do need to be taking a look at this question of revenue versus further spending, and I'm certainly going to be a proponent of a special session to deal with that issue, because I don't see it getting any easier during the regular session. You know, while we might have to make some tough political votes, i.e., if, you know, anytime you start talking about instituting a tax, whether it's a change in the way that we do the permanent fund, which is important to people, or an income tax, you know, frankly, that's not popular. It's not popular with me personally. I don't look forward to paying new taxes. But at the same time, just doing nothing is not an alternative either. So I just think it's important that we address this issue. So one of my main activities is to try to build some support amongst fellow legislators to start to look at this issue and to build support for a special session to deal with it. Because, like I said, you know, we're going to have enough on our plates during the regular session. I don't see that issue getting any easier. So I just think we need to deal with it. So I'm trying to build some support amongst members of my caucus, but also fellow members that I've built relationships with throughout the whole legislature to try to get them to build support for a special session dealing with that issue.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to add?
No. I appreciate the opportunity to come in, and you know, I'm enjoying the job, and really, obviously, very grateful to the voters of District 36 for giving me the opportunity. And so far, I think I'm representing our district very well, and we'll continue to work hard to do that.